Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography in the Middle East, in the land of Israel. And of course, we keep you informed of the current events that are happening there in that region as well. Today, we're going to talk about some amazing things that are going to help you to go deeper in your reading of God's Word. You know, the stories and texts of the Bible are filled with landscapes and geographical settings. And if we pay attention, our Bible reading and understanding of Scripture will be transformed. Biblical geographer, professor, and author Dr. Jack Beck has spent 30 years helping Bible readers understand the importance of exactly that, going deeper in the Scripture. Dr. Beck has a PhD in theology and Old Testament from Trinity International University. Dr. Jack has collaborated on many projects with Our Daily Bread Ministries, including the Holy Land video series, several books, including the Our Daily Bread Bible Atlas, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Dr. Jack, we are so glad to have you here on the Middle East Report. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for the invitation to be with you, John.
Well, you are a biblical geographer, and I would imagine that there's a lot of people who are listening right now who don't even know what a biblical geographer is. Tell us what that is and why you are so passionate about helping readers, you know, just see the unique settings or backdrop of each story in the Word of God.
Well, thanks so much for that question, John, because that is always a challenge. When I introduce myself as a Bible geographer, it's way different than introducing myself perhaps as an accountant or as a pilot or even as a host of a radio program. People fill in very quickly behind some of those other labels what you do. Bible geographer usually gets me lots of quizzical looks. So let me break it out. The geographer side of that means that I'm interested in the land. I'm interested in the natural history, that is the animals and the plants and the insects that live on that land. I'm interested in physical geography, that is the features on the surface of the earth and the forces that go to work shaping those features. And then I'm interested in human geography. That is the way in which human beings interact with that place and the animals and plants that are in that environment. That's the geographer side. Now, the Bible side means that I'm taking all of those things the geographer is interested in and looking for the way in which those shape the story of the Bible and the way the Bible communicates those stories. So as a Bible geographer, I'm very interested in the way place is linked to the Bible's communication.
You do that so well through the videos that you do with Our Daily Bread and the Bible Atlas that you have out, which we're going to be talking a whole lot about a little later on here in the Middle East Report. You know, you mentioned the landscapes, you mentioned insects and animals and just all the things that we, you know, read about in the Bible and God's Word. Do all of those things play an important part in the Bible stories that we read?
Yeah, let me take it out of our experience into the biblical reading experience. If I come into my modern context, who I am, John, how I think, how I most naturally communicate is a product of where I'm from. I sound very much like I'm from southern Wisconsin, and it wouldn't take us long to discover some of those nuances of who I am and how I speak. Now, that same human experience is reflected in the people we meet in the Bible and the authors and poets who wrote it. Who they were, how they thought, how they most naturally communicated was a product of where they're from. And so when God put them to work in sharing his thoughts with us, he moved his thoughts through all of the breadth of the human experience that I have, but that includes the geography. And so it naturally became part of the way in which the biblical authors communicated. Geography is simply peppered throughout the text. And if I go looking for it, I'm going to find it on virtually every page. And I'll land here. It means that some of what God has had to say to us, he said using geography.
Let's talk about the unique geography of the Bible, and maybe, I don't know if you have some examples of some of the stories in the Bible that you can share with us that actually have geography in them, and bring that to life for us and why the setting and backdrop of these biblical stories are so important, and why, you know, for somebody like me in the past, I kind of overlooked it, but over the last recent many years, I'm like, no, I'm on this journey to look at the geography, the landscapes, the just how the land is laid out. And truly, Dr. Beck, it has just transformed the way I read God's word.
I love hearing that, John, because I had a geographic conversion of my Bible reading experience as well. There was a time when I didn't pay so close attention to all the geography uploaded into the communication of the Bible. Then there was a post-geographic conversion of my Bible reading, and that's where I've been the last 30 years. I think it all begins when people begin to notice something that was there all along, but their eyes just never rested on the names of places, the names of river systems, the way in which people grew their food, made the tools they used to process the food. That's all part of the geographic experience. When you begin to notice it, you begin to light up to that and see it everywhere. But, you know, the thing that I think is most striking for first-time visitors to the Holy Land, and I've had opportunities to meet lots of those folks and to introduce them to the Holy Land. What's so striking to me about virtually all of their first-time experiences is they've come to learn one geographic impression of the land, that the Holy Land would have one sort of geographic presentation, and that's what they would come to learn. And what they quickly discover is the Holy Land is not a single geography, but it is a diverse array of ecosystems, each of which produces its own sort of lifestyle and its own kind of stories. And so if I'm talking about Mount Hermon, I'm talking about an extended mountain ridge that goes up to 9,232 feet in elevation, so high up in the atmosphere that it makes its own weather. That produces a certain kind of story. Drop down into the Jezreel Valley, and I'm talking about a relatively flat, agriculturally rich, easily transited valley system that's 80,000 acres in size. That's going to produce a very different kind of lifestyle and story than Mount Hermon. And then if I go into the Judean wilderness, I'm into a highly under-resourced space where agriculture isn't possible, and that's going to produce its own kind of stories. And what's so striking is all of those landscapes occur in a north-south range of about 145 miles. So when people come to the land with me to learn the geography, they quickly find that it's not just one type of geographical region they're going to learn, but upwards of 14 or 15, each of which is distinct in one way from another, each of which produces its own kind of lifestyle, and each of which participates in the Bible's communication in a unique way.
All of the, you know, locations in the Bible and everything that you're talking about, the setting of the Bible, it was put there for a reason. I mean, it was written there by the Lord and by the writers of the Bible so that, you know, we could understand all of these things. And you often say, Dr. Beck, that it's like a character. You know, when you think about the landscape and the setting, it's like a character in the Bible.
Oh, it very much is. It's the underappreciated and underused element in the text that so often brings things to life.
Take us into, you know, a Bible story where there is landscape, there is geography, there is a setting, and maybe just share a little bit about, you know, what we as Bible readers would think, but really this is what it is.
Well, let me give you two examples, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. The first one's Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, that piece of scripture is so well known that people very quickly have a geographic picture they place on it. But it's rarely the picture that the psalmist likely had in view. In the beginning of that psalm, we come to realize that this is a psalm of King David, who was a Bethlehem shepherd. And we know something about where they pastured their livestock. There were the agricultural fields near town, which when the harvest was done, were available for the shepherds. But during the time the grain was growing in those fields, the shepherds had to take their livestock to the fringes of the Judean wilderness. That's the place I mentioned last in that geographic overview. This is a very rugged, difficult, threatening piece of terrain. Very little water, very little natural pasture land out there. And it is the context in which the livestock would luck out and say, hey, we're lacking everything we need to keep body and soul together. But David begins the psalm, reflecting through the eyes of his flock, by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. How can he say that when looking into a landscape that lacks everything? Well, it's because of the way the psalm starts. The Lord is my shepherd. It's only when our eyes are on the shepherd does the land that lacks virtually everything become the land that lacks nothing. The shepherd knows where the little postage-sized, stamp-sized pasture lands are. The shepherd knows where the water resources are. The shepherd knows how to move the livestock through that land to avoid the terrain hazards and apex predators. And it is the geography that really creates the tension and relieves the tension in that psalm.
We're talking to Dr. Jack Beck, and I want to encourage you to connect with Dr. Jack. You can do that when you go to Our Daily Bread on YouTube, subscribe to that channel, or you can go to odbm.org. These videos, these Holy Land video series, have been seen by over 10 million people. They are amazing, so I encourage you to check that out. You know, Dr. Beck, you were just talking about shepherds. You actually, in one of your video series, actually went out with some shepherds, because that idea of a shepherd and sheep is so evident there in the Bible. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it's very much a part of what we wanted to do in the series. So the series is organized by geographic region. So when we were doing our study of the Judean wilderness, we wanted to better understand what it may have been like to take livestock out into the wilderness and find pasture and water for them. We went to a Bedouin community where they were doing exactly that, living out in the wilderness, and had the opportunity to walk with them out into the wilderness and talk about how it was that they discovered pasture lands in this under-resourced space for the flock and where they got their water. It was a way of trying to help us connect with the language of wilderness pastoralism by actually repeating some of the experiences, including staying overnight in the wilderness, which I love. I'm a backpacker camper, so I love the opportunity to be out in the wilderness overnight. But it really does give you a sense of the experience of the people who live that life in the Bible.
Dr. Beck, the Holy Land video series that you've done with Our Daily Bread is absolutely amazing. Tell us a little bit more about this series. You've been doing this for a while, and you, again, literally take people to the land of Israel. And when you do that, you obviously bring the Bible right there with you, and you just give them these devotional thoughts that are just so encouraging.
I love to do that in person in the Holy Land. I also realize there are folks who may not have the opportunity to be in the Holy Land. And maybe if they were in the Holy Land, they didn't have a chance to be in the Holy Land with a Bible scholar. So the film series gives people the opportunity to walk at my side and to look at some of the things that I look at. I like to say, John, that the field study trips I do are done at a walking pace rather than a driving pace. We drive when we have to, but we walk to learn. When we slow our experience in an ecosystem by walking through it, we notice things we hadn't noticed before. We have experiences that we hadn't had before. And I'm always learning. I'm seeing new geologic presentations. I'm learning new plants in the land. So I feel that I'm the perpetual student, the curious student who's out trying to teach what I've already learned.
Well, you have been to the Holy Land so many times. You have brought so many people there to the beautiful place of Israel and the Holy Land. Tell us how that's changed you personally, traveling to the land of Israel like this, and you know, all the years that you've been doing it. Does it ever get old, or how's it changed you?
It never gets old because I'm just always seeing new relationships between land and text, always learning things. But fundamentally, it changed the way I read, teach, and preach the Bible. I simply can't engage the text without seeing the places, without considering the role that places might be playing in the communication of God's thoughts in a text. And that's the experience I seek for others. Whether I'm teaching them in the land or hosting the video series or writing a book, I'm trying to give people that same geographic conversion experience I had. The insight that I think is most powerful is often the insight that comes from thinking about what happened in a place before. Jesus' ministry is full of geographic teaching locations. And what I find so often is that he goes to a specific location because of something that happened there before in order to build on, enhance, grow understanding of a theological lesson out of what had happened before in that place.
Well, thinking about all of the geography and the landscape there in Israel and how important that is for us to, you know, incorporate that into our Bible reading and to pay attention. How do we do that, Dr. Beck, practically speaking? You know, somebody's listening, well, I don't know, geography and the settings, and I read the Bible, but I just overlook that. I mean, how do we practically dive into this and just begin that journey of understanding the geography and the settings and the landscape and all the things that we're talking about?
I think it's catching the spirit, John. I really do. Rather than going through some sort of formal step-by-step process, I'd sit with somebody or watch the video series. Do something that connects you to someone who's already had this incredible experience with the land and how it's impacted their Bible reading, and let that begin to simmer a bit. And it's going to be one story or two. For me, it was Matthew 4:13. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum. Two place names look pretty much like one another on the page in my Bible, but in reality, those two places are strikingly different. And the move from Nazareth to Capernaum, the move Jesus made as he moved from sort of his private life to his public ministry life, is of great consequence for what he was seeking to do. It's a story like that that changed me, and there's a story out there like that will begin to change others as well.
Let's listen to a clip from one of the video series, the Holy Land video series that you can find on Our Daily Bread's YouTube channel. And this will give you a little flavor for what Dr. Jack Beck does and his heart for the land, the geography, and the settings in the Bible.
If you know this series, you know where we are. This is the Sea of Galilee, the place where Jesus and the disciples spent nearly all their time during Jesus' three-year ministry. And I believe this mountain, Mount Arbel, overlooking it all, was the setting for a pivotal moment. A moment that draws a straight line all the way from Genesis 12 to the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Before, their ministry focus was here. Now he lifts their eyes to this broad horizon and says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. The Peter who gives a sermon in Jerusalem on Pentecost is the Peter who's been impacted by this language. What he taught on Pentecost were things that he had never taught before, and to whom he spoke was completely different than to whom he had spoken before, not just the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but the world that was coming to Jerusalem. Peter was changed by the Great Commission given on Mount Arbel, and that changed the kind of sermon he gave on Pentecost. And folks, that's changed me too. I've come to this land for nearly 30 years. And as I sit here at the close of that 30-year time in this land, I'm reminded that my Bible reading has undergone a geographic conversion. There was a time when I just didn't pay attention to the nuance of place. Now I do. I can't read text without looking for the important connection between story and place.
Dr. Beck, that was actually a clip from one of the video series that you did. That's powerful.
You know, I love beginnings and endings, and that was the ending of season four of The Holy Land. So it really was a moment for me in time to think back not only on the series, but on decades of time that I'd spent in the land, and praying that what had happened in me and for me as a Bible reader might happen in others as well.
This Holy Land video series is made absolutely free by Our Daily Bread. They want you to see these video series. Season four just recently completed. It's been viewed by over 10 million people, all of the video series combined. And so I just want to encourage you to please subscribe to the Our Daily Bread YouTube channel. Go there and you can get these videos. It would make a great thing for you to share with your Sunday school class, with your small group study setting, all of that. Or you can go to odbm.org. By the way, Our Daily Bread has a app that you can get on the Holy Land video series. It's got a 10-day reading plan on it. It's got special devotions. It's got reflection questions. I mean, it just really takes you deeper into the Word of God. So I encourage you to download that app as well. We want to wrap things up and talk about this Bible Atlas that you've created with Our Daily Bread. I love this Bible Atlas. I've been just diving into it. It's not a boring atlas. In fact, no Bible Atlas is boring, but a lot of people might think that, Dr. Jack. But I love what you've done with this Bible Atlas. Tell us about that.
It's a little different than the film series in that it approaches the Bible chronologically. So we move from Genesis to Revelation, whereas the film moves regionally. So the reason I wrote it like that was so that you could actually engage it in two ways. Either you can dive in for insights on a particular story you're studying, or just read it like a book from cover to cover. And I appreciate your thoughts on it, John, because it's intended to be different than standard Bible atlases in that it really is sort of a hybrid between an atlas and a geographic commentary on the story. So if you think of not just learning about the place, but learning about the way that place interacts with the story or poetry you're reading, that's what the atlas can do for you.
And, you know, one of the amazing things about this is that there is a QR code on several of the pages. In other words, you can just take your phone. We all know what these QR codes are. And you can scan that. And then it will literally take you online to a very short video that you have done or that's part of the video series. And it's that little segment that you're reading about. So if I'm in the Judean desert or I'm in the Dead Sea area or if I'm in the Sea of Galilee, you know, you've got that QR code that you can scan on your phone, and then you're literally taken there via video. And Dr. Beck, when you do that, it's not just the landscape that you're talking about and geography. You are just giving so many biblical nuggets for us and so much encouragement about that particular place.
I think that's a really important insight, John. The land informs the reading of our text that informs how we think and live. And that triangle needs to be sustained as we even do a Bible Atlas.
As we wrap up the Middle East Report today, there's a lot of people who are listening who have never done this, who have never really gone deeper into the geography and the landscape and how that interacts with God's Word. Could you just take just a couple of moments here and just challenge those who have never done that, but are thinking about doing that now because they've heard this broadcast?
Yeah, for sure. I'll say it this way. I have spent lots of years studying and teaching the biblical languages. And as I would teach Greek and Hebrew to my students, it would take them two or three semesters to come to the point where they were actually seeing something in the text that they hadn't seen before. I'm going to suggest to you that you can do a 12-day trip to the Holy Land, or you can watch through this video series in the amount of time it takes to watch 34 15-minute episodes, and your Bible reading will fundamentally change. I know it'll happen. I've seen it happen in so many others, and I pray that it happens for your listeners as well.
I want to encourage everyone to please subscribe to the Our Daily Bread YouTube channel, where you're going to find all of these video series on the Holy Land with Dr. Jack Beck. He has a PhD in theology, Old Testament from Trinity International University. He just loves the land of Israel, and I want to encourage you to please connect with them. Download the app from Our Daily Bread. Get that on your phone. That way you'll have it there, and there's a lot of other stuff on that app with the reading plan, the Bible reading plan, devotions, and so much more. Dr. Beck, what a joy to talk to you. Thank you for all that you do to help us go deeper into God's Word, understanding the landscape and the setting of the Bible, which literally will transform the way that we read God's Word. We are so appreciative of your 30-plus years of work on this. Thank you, Dr. Jack.
John, thanks for the opportunity to extend the reach of my voice and pray that your ministry continues to be blessed as well.
I want to encourage you to go to Our Daily Bread's YouTube channel. You will find the Holy Land videos there. They are absolutely beautiful. The way that they are done, the scenery is stunning. And of course, you're going to get so much encouragement from these Our Daily Bread videos. So please do that, Our Daily Bread on YouTube. You can also download their app. They've got a lot of great stuff on the app, including all of the videos. And that includes a 10-day reading plan that provides special devotions, reflection questions, and a lot of other things to complement each and every episode of the Holy Land video series from Our Daily Bread. So I encourage you to do that as well. And if you want more information about Our Daily Bread, their website is odbm.org. The Jewish people in the land of Israel are going through so much right now with the wars and everything that they have faced since October 7th, 2023. We need to pray for them, but there is something else that we can do. We can stand with them in a very practical way by being a part of the Israel Summit that's happening in Dallas, Texas, June 9th through the 11th. It's going to be an incredible summit. Wonderful speakers that will be there, including former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Freeman, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and many, many others that will be there to help you understand the truth of what's happening with the Jewish people and the land of Israel and why we need to stand with them. Because, you know, sometimes we feel alone in our support for Israel, and maybe we feel like our voice won't make a difference. It will make a difference. I want to encourage you to be a part of this summit that's happening in Dallas, Texas, June 9th through the 11th. It's put on by the Israel Guys. Find out more when you go to theisraelguys.com, theisraelguys.com. I'll be at the summit, and I hope to see you there. Get a podcast of the show at AFR.net or wherever you get your podcast. Just search for The Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thanks for listening.